Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Wow, cool tune with Cool Water. And you guys definitely have to check her out. Those who are going to be in Los Angeles coming up here on Tuesday, February 15th at 10 p.m., she's going to be at the Villains Tavern. And that's at 1356 Palmetto, Los Angeles, California. Do check her out. And while you're out there, if you can't come out, check her out on her website at angiematson.com. That's angiematson.com. I know you'll love her music. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and this is When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank you all for listening, and all my future listeners, and of course BBS Radio for producing the show. I have a real quick announcement. I want to announce, with Intense Impact, they are having a major concert tour that's happening in Australia and New Zealand. So my listeners who are out there, who love hard rockers, who love hearing heavy metal from back in the past and at the present, we have three groups they have coming out there. Quiet Riot, and you all remember Come Hear the Noise, and Warrant. And LA Guns will be in Australia and New Zealand this coming April, May 2011. They'll be playing in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Canberra. And, of course, they're going to be in New Zealand and Auckland. They're going to be playing on Friday, the 29th of April, at the Palace at Melbourne. On April 30th, that's a Saturday, they will be at Anu Bar and Act. And on Monday, May 2nd, they will be in Auckland, New Zealand at the Power Station. Thursday the 5th on May, they will be at the Headquarters Complex at Adelaide. And on May 6th, that's a Friday, they will be Metro City at Perth. And on Saturday the 7th of May, they will be in Brisbane in Tivoli. On Sunday the 8th, those of you in Sydney, Australia, on May 8th, they will be at the Metro, so do come out. Tickets will become available on Monday, the 7th of February. Do check out updated postings at www.intense-impact.com, impact.com. Check it out. It's also listed on my website, so for further details, do check it out. Now, since we're coming up here on Valentine's Day and everybody has these things about, oh, what's going to happen in my love life, all this stuff, and soulmates and compatibilities and whatnot. So I have asked, and you've heard her almost like every 3 months, I have her on my show talking about the Zodiac. She's an expert on astrology as well as an intuitive. She does multiple readings, which are highly accurate, I must say. And I'm honored to have her on my show once again after pleading her to come on to talk about our zodiac and our compatibilities. So I am feel very fortunate to have her again on my show. And Carrie Fezza, how are you, Carrie?
I am good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay. I thought I lost you for a second. Maybe it's a glitch or something. But You know, being that it's in, we're heading into Valentine's, most people are, you know, wonder about what's happening with their zodiac, you know, what's their chart, if they're Aries or Leos or Cancer or Gemini, whatever their zodiac sign. And they're often wondering, out there is, you know, what matches why, and so to speak. And they don't, you know, they'll look at matches and it's assumed that, oh, this matches this and this matches that. And without really understanding what and reasons why certain compatibilities exist between sun signs or whatnot. Can you sort of elaborate what the compatibility and the elements within the zodiac are?
Sure, there's a lot to it. Astrology is very involved. But just working with basic sun sign astrology, there's certain compatibilities within the sun signs. And a lot of, some people will say, well, I've been with this person, we're not supposed to be compatible, but we've been together for a long time. And it could very well be that your moon is in their sign or their moon is in your sign. So it gets a lot deeper. You get into the sun and the moon connections. Venus and Mars, of course, also play a role. Venus is the romance side of relationships, and Mars is the passion and sexuality part of it. If you have a strong Venus and Mars connection between two people, you're going to have a very passionate relationship, but it may not last the test of time. For long-term compatibility, you really want to look at sun-moon connections, and that can be derived from having your horoscope done. I do individual horoscopes, and I also do relationship horoscopes. My website is zodiacbuzz.com, and you're welcome to visit it. All my pricing and information and how to contact me is on the first page. One of the easiest ways to look at compatibility that I think everybody can understand is through elements. There's four elements to Western astrology, and that's fire, air, water, and earth. And within that, you'll see fire signs a lot of times, not just in relationships, but friendships, worker relationships, any type of partnership, hook up with air signs because fire needs air to breathe. Same dynamic plays out with water and earth. Earth needs water to grow and prosper. Some people will say too much water and earth will make mud, but that's an overabundance of an element. So if you look around at your friendships and your associates, you'll see that a lot of them fall into those compatibilities. The three fire signs are, of course, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And the three air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Your water signs are Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. These are your feeling signs. These are the people that are your romantics or have deep, deep feelings. Not that the other signs can't, but these are typically the water signs are the ones we give the word feel to. Now, your earth signs, who are compatible with that, more earthy and grounded and ground the nature of the water sign, are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. Fire signs are your go-getters, your dynamic people. They go, they do. Sometimes they're reckless and careless. Air people are your thinkers, your idea people, your writers. They give that fire energy purpose. They give meaning to its drive and ambition. And if you look at some famous combinations throughout history, again, just through friendship compatibility, Lennon and McCartney, the most prolific songwriting team of, multiple generations, they're both air signs. John Lennon is a Libra, and Paul McCartney is a Gemini. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, the more on the wild side, a little more reckless, a little more daring, they're both fire signs. Keith Richards is a Sagittarius, and Mick Jagger is a Leo. So again, you can just look through the dynamics of your friendships and probably see that if you're a fire sign, you hang out with a lot of other fire signs or air signs, and if you're a water sign or an earth sign, you probably hang out with either of those dynamics. Would you ever find that to be true?
Yeah.
Have you ever analyzed your friendships?
Well, that's really interesting to say that because lately I've had a lot of fire signs around me, particularly Leos, but I do have a lot of Aries.
You're an Aries.
And a lot of Aries. And I do have Gemini. Isn't that, you said Gemini is air sign, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of Geminis around me. But I also have Cancers, too. So, and I have had Cancers in my past around me a lot.
Well, that's, okay, that's interesting that you bring that up. Now, Cancer is a water sign. You're an Aries, which is a fire sign. It can be said that water puts out fire. But the compatibility link between Cancer and Aries is the three modalities that exist in the zodiac. If you divide 12 signs by three modalities, you get four signs. And your four, Aries and Cancer are two of the cardinal signs, your other two being Libra and Capricorn. Therefore, you have cardinal fire, Cancer cardinal water, Libra cardinal air, and Capricorn is cardinal earth. Cardinal is very outgoing energy, strong, dynamic personalities that initiate things. So there's your compatibility with Cancer,
even though
you might not be as compatible on an elemental level.
Oh, okay, so there's an element, and then you say, what do you call the modality? What do you do? How do you say that? The modality?
Modalities. It works. Modalities are tricky. Elements are a far better measure of compatibility, because sometimes, again, the elements can clash even if you are of the same modality. And a good example of that is the fixed modalities. The fixed signs are the ones that are tenacious. The cardinal signs get the ball rolling and the fixed signs run with it. The flip side of tenacity is stubbornness. A lot of times you'll see the fixed signs, which are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. Taurus being fixed earth, Leo being fixed fire, Scorpio being fixed water, and Aquarius being fixed air. These are the signs that have a hard time letting go. They can be very loyal, but they also can also be very possessive. They have a hard time getting out of relationships and jobs, any type of situation, they tend to stay a bit too long. So when you get two fixed signs together, like a Leo or a Taurus, a Leo and a Scorpio, a lot of times you have really stubborn energy coming up against each other. Depending on where the person's moon node is and other elements in the charts, it can work, but you're always going to run into a bit of a conflict there with your sun signs.
What about the aspects that okay, now if you go back to with the elements, like for example you, and yeah, it's sort of funny because I forgot I have some Sagittarians in the midst of me, but I noticed that this is sounds sort of weird, as I noticed amongst my fire signs, there is a tendency to be, I don't want to say possessive, but a jealousy of other fire signs that are near me, like a Leo to Leo or Aries to Aries or, you know, Sagittarian even. Is that really common between the, I'm just dealing amongst the fire signs now, is that really a common element, or is that, can that be found amongst other elements within their signs, or is this just a coincidence in my situation?
I don't know it'd be a coincidence. You bring up an interesting point, though, about fire signs. Fire signs are very dynamic, very outgoing, and very driven, so they can also be very competitive. And maybe what you perceive as jealousy is their competitive nature. And I guess, you know, competitiveness would result in jealousy. So out of all the elements, I would definitely say the fire signs would be the most competitive. Now, of course, we're dealing in broad generalizations here. You might know an air sign who's very competitive, but they might have a lot of fire in their chart, other planets and fire signs with just the sun being in the air sign, or they could have a fire sign moon.
Now you mentioned the moon being an important aspect. What if you, let's say, if somebody has a moon in Pisces, and I don't even know, let's say somebody has a moon in, you know, I'm just going to throw out, would have, let's say, I think that was a water sign, correct? And then let's say somebody has a water sign like a Cancer or Scorpio, I think you mentioned Scorpio as being one. Let's say their moon is in Scorpio. So what would be the elements, though? You said the sun signs is one particular. Does that fall on the same basis with the moon signs as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if your moon is your feelings and your emotions. Your sun sign is your basic nature. It's what you came into this world to be. But your rising sign will color your personality, and your moon is representative of the mother and the environment that you grew up in. So it governs your emotional nature. So if your moons are compatible by element, and sometimes modality, again, unless you get really into the fixed, that's sure another very strong indicator, because emotionally you're on the same page. You're deep and you're feeling. You're feeling people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was interrupting, but go ahead, because you already answered my question as you were talking. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, I just wanted to finish the final modality, which is the mutable signs. The mutable signs are almost the opposite of the fixed. They tend to be very flexible and easygoing. These are the people that ride the situation out and see the projects through to the end, where the cardinal signs, you know, give birth to things, get things going. The fixed signs take it, hold on to it, and run with it. The mutable signs are the ones that just go with the flow. And those are your Geminis, your Virgos, your Sagittarians, and your Pisces. And a lot of times you'll see the modalities hook up together. And even if they're not so compatible by element, they still work well together because they're flexible and easygoing. So that's sort of an exception to the rule.
And the modality you're saying is it works off sort of like you said, like almost like opposites or something, like or within every three. So for example, Aries, you said, because then there's Cancers every three, and then there's the Libra is another one, and then what's other? And then I guess that goes back to an Aries.
Capricorn,
yeah, of course. Which is interesting. That
yeah,
you said,
there's.
It's interesting you said that, because Cancer is always, every time I've met personally, I don't get my own personal stuff here. Cancer seem to, like, when, even though, because I have a rising sign in Cancer, there seems almost like a duality. Can you have, because you have a rising sign in one, then you have a fire sign in another, and then your moon is another, and then there's, of course, your Venus is another. Because of that collage and how they match up to each other's, that's what gives that, I guess, that variable in and then the modality as well. Does that create a almost like a multiple variations of interpretation and a determination of what the compatibility is, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Astrology goes very, very deep on many, many levels. That's why when you get a personal forecast done, whether it's a personality profile or a relationship reading, it you know, we charge more for that because it's much more intense. There's a lot of, you're not just looking at the configurations of the different element modalities, the planets, the signs. You're looking at the mathematical relationship and proportion to each other. So it gets pretty intense. That's why, you know, I just was sticking with sun signs so people can, you know, the moon, if you know your moon sign, that you can definitely factor that in too. But if you're just a novice astrologer or you're tuning into the program and you don't really know too much about astrology, just to know what element you are and what modality you are and the person that you either like or attracted to or in a partnership with, it's going to give you some more depth. Your mutable signs are Gemini, which is mutable air, Virgo is your mutable earth, Sag is your mutable fire, and Pisces is your mutable water. So that's just something to start working with. And again, if anybody's interested in a forecast, they're welcome to contact me. Please have them say they used your name as a referral because they heard me on your show. And then they can get a much more individualized forecast that would take into account, you know, not just their sun and their moon signs, but with their Venus and their Mars is what they attract, how they approach love. And again, you know, then you can start applying these signs, elements, and modalities to your individual planet.
So let me ask you
all that being – okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you this on the – because I was just thinking on top of my head, like – because I'm really glad that you explained this, because to me, and I know a lot of other people, when they hear astrology, it almost sounds like you're reading a professor writing on a chalkboard a long equation of some quantum physics or something. And now you pretty much explained a lot of things. Because people look at it like, whoa, what's this? And modality and elements. And it makes a more clear understanding why certain situations, you know, how one clicks to another as far as in relationships, for example. What is like, for example, what you said, the fire is a fire sign and how they relate to, or earth, the water. What are the aspects? Because you said the fire sign is all go-getting, they're out there with a lot of energy. You said that air is basically like communicating, writing, and I believe you said water is the feeler. Am I correct? And then you said...
Mm-hmm. And then paid attention.
Yeah. I get an A now, huh? Well, almost like I get that the fourth one. And then fit, the earth is more like holding to the more rigid, I guess. It's sort of locked into the less movement. They're more harder to move around. Is that correct?
No, not with the earth. That would be with the fixed modality, and it wouldn't matter what element you were. That's fixed. Earth is grounded. So they approach things from a much more practical perspective, whereas the water signs are feelers, and they tend to approach things from a much more emotional perspective. Fire signs just dive right in, and air signs have to think about it first, you know. So again, if your moon is directly very different than your sun sign, you're going to have multiple approaches. And in my own personal observation, with all that being said, looking at the compatibilities between the elements and the potential issues between the modalities, there's a couple of soul sign combinations that you'll never read about in an astrology book, but I found to be true through all my years of personal research and being in this business. And they defy all measures of compatibility and what we would look at as an astrologer. So if you like it, I can run through the signs kind of and give you my own personal humble opinion of certain soul combinations. Some make sense and some don't, but you see them together time and time again.
Yeah, definitely go for it, because I really want to. That's fascinating that you're going to bring that up, because go for it.
Okay, with Aries, you know, first of all, let me just say, I think any sign goes well with its same sign. And some people say, oh, I could never date someone of my same sign. I would hate to date myself. But you got to remember, again, the moon factors in a different emotional nature and the rising sign, different personality. So you... you know, your sun sign is just your basic nature, and two people of the same sun sign are going to be compatible fundamentally on that level. Now, with Aries, I've noticed long-term relationships or friendships between them and Aquarius. Don't know if you can relate that to anybody in your life, but Aries and Aquarius, I have two sets of aunt and uncles. One's been married 50 years, one's been married over 40 years, and both partners, one's an Aries and one's an Aquarius. Taurus, a very loyal sign. Don't forget, it's fixed earth, so it's practical and it's tenacious. They sometimes can get married very young, and they can make it last and make it work. And they seem to be really compatible with the elements of water, of course, but the two particular signs, Cancer and Pisces. So you see long-term relationships between Cancers and Pisces with the sign of Taurus. Gemini, here's the most interesting combination I find. Geminis, the dual sign, multiple personalities, seem to attract Scorpios like magnets, and vice versa. If you put 500 people in a room, a Scorpio on one side and a Gemini on another, they would find each other. And it's something I don't think you'd ever read about in an astrology book, but I've just known it to be true. And it's an amazing thing. So people are willing to put me to the test on that. That's fine.
I know that for a fact. Also, me very much in my family, that is exactly that. I mean, who would have thought? And there's a Scorpio and a Gemini together. And it's sort of funny why you say that, because you would think, because where they are, each of them so different, so aware, but they're like two opposite, two magnets that like came apart. It's amazing how they work together.
Like they do.
Yeah, yeah.
47 years. I don't understand it, but they, I don't even think they understand each other, but they go together. So it's just, it works. Another sign you'll see Geminis with is Leos, but it just sort of seems to be more of a fling thing. You don't often see it lasting, going the distance and lasting as long as the Scorpio-Gemini combination. And again, this is just my own personal humble opinion. Another soul sign for Cancer, more so than Taurus, is Virgo. A lot of times you'll see Cancers and Virgos. They're compatible by element, earth and water, but you just sort of see those two gravitate towards each other like the Scorpio and the Gemini. Leos are fascinating. With Leo, we're talking a lot about the ego. Don't forget, it's fire, but it's fixed fire. Leos are considered the king of the zodiac. So a female Leo would be the queen, and oftentimes not only do you see two Leos together, the king and the queen, you see them with the exact same birth date or within one day of each other. Kathy Lee and Frank Gifford, I believe they're 20 plus years apart in age, but I do believe they share the exact same birth date and they're both Leos.
That's pretty interesting. Now what, and you said like, they could be by differences of age, even on a Leo that far apart, because I just remember they're pretty, like, 20. How about, I don't even know if you have that, like, I was thinking about Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Aren't they pretty far apart in age? And they're...
Yeah, but I think they share the exact same birthday, too, and they're both Libras.
Oh, that's right.
I think they're about 25 years apart, exact same birth date, too. So, you know, when you're talking about soulmate connections, really, age doesn't play a part because it's a soul connection. And let it be known, too, that we hear that word soulmate thrown around a lot. And when you meet the exact right person that you're perfectly compatible with and you love each other unconditionally, it's a beautiful thing. But some soulmates are brought to you because there's unresolved issues from previous lifetimes. And those relationships can be really difficult. You innately love that person, you desire them, but there's part of your intellect that tells you that that person is not right for you. And I always say you can't help who you fall in love with. But the relationships that do seem to work and do seem to go the distance are the connections that I'm giving you now. And I've done, this is from years of personal research. Another fascinating connection that doesn't make a lot of sense by element or modality is Leo and Capricorn. They both like nice things and expensive things. My joke is that the Capricorn works really, really hard, so when he buys the Mercedes, people know what he's achieved in his life. The Leo just likes to be seen in the Mercedes, and that's the difference, but they both, you'll see Leos and Capricorns together like you'll see Scorpios and Gemini.
Wow. That almost sounds like a Libra to me, when they want to be seen in a, they're always into their vanity. I always found with Libras, but go ahead. I don't know if that's so true. Is that
probably a Libra with a Leo moon? There's probably a strong Leo in the horoscope there. Maybe a Leo rising. Virgos, again, we mentioned a strong soulmate connection with Cancer, but you'll also see them with their other mutable sign of Sagittarius quite frequently. And it's interesting you mentioned the sign of Libra, because Libra is your partnership sign. Libra typically falls towards the end of September and most of the month of October, and you'll see how weddings have changed from June, the Gemini and Cancer time period, to October. A lot of people get married in October now, and that's the sign of partnership. But I have yet to find a sign that's truly compatible with Libra. It seems like their karma in this lifetime is to work out relationships, and they have a hard, sometimes a more difficult time finding the right compatibility.
That's interesting. Now, you said Aries are with Aquarius? Because I tell you the truth, I'm an Aries, so I've never really had a relationship with an Aquarius or met too many Aquariuses, that's for sure.
Well, neither have I, but I've had close friends, like my lifelong friend was an Aquarius. So you might reflect back on some of your friendships, and even though you didn't have a romantic connection with an Aquarius, you might have had a soulmate connection through a friendship. But I have seen it work really well in long-term marriages and instant attractions.
Oh, and what about between Aries and Leos, for example? What's their situation?
Well, you know that works because they're both fire signs, and that's common astrology, and you'll read that in any astrology book. Right. You know, you'll tend to find that the mutable signs, even though the modalities are all kind of in a harder aspect to each other, that they can function well together.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Wow. So,
we're getting a little bit of echo and feedback here, so I apologize if I'm interrupting.
No, no, it's okay, because I'm, like, losing you, too. I don't know why we're getting, like, this dead space here. That's why I go, what? go ahead. You were saying, continue on. You went through, I think, you got to the Gemini and who they're, I guess, the mutable, whatever you were talking about, how unusual that the connections are. Are there any others?
We're up to Scorpio now, and Scorpio, I said, you'll sometimes see them a lot with Aries. They're both ruled by Mars. Mars is a co-ruler of Scorpio. They're very passionate relationships, but again, you're talking fire and water here, and sometimes the Aries and the Scorpio can crash and burn. There'd have to be some other compatibility aspect to hold that together.
I know from experience. Go ahead.
Me too. Exactly.
That's the one.
Sagittarius is a mutable sign, and they tend to go, again, like I said, with anybody. I see Sagittarius with Pisces. I've seen Sagittarius with Virgos. Interestingly enough, Gemini, the other mutable sign, is more compatible by element because it's air. It's also the opposite sign of partnerships. A lot of people will hook up with their opposite sign and go, oh, we're opposites. It'll never work. But your opposite sign is your partnership sign. Opposites attract. And your opposite sign is always a reflection of yourself. And you'll see qualities of your opposite sign that you have in you. So if you're hooking up with someone who's in your opposite sign, it's not a bad thing. You're compatible by element automatically. And it's an attraction. It's a seesaw effect. So that can work. You know, if there's other factors in the chart that prohibit that, you know, that's a different story, but just by sun sign, that can work. Opposite signs. Capricorn, again, we mentioned the soulmate connection with Leo, but you also see a fatal attraction between Capricorns and Pisces. These two are the oldest souls of the zodiac. They both come in with the most karma to burn off, not always the easiest lives. Capricorn's typically your rags to riches story, someone who starts from the bottom and works their way up. Pisces, a lot of times, can be your riches to rags story. They have a lot of charisma and a lot of charm, and things sometimes fall in their lap and come easy to them because they're beautiful, ethereal, and charismatic, and they don't know how to handle it, and they wind up with a drug addiction or an alcohol problem. Kurt Cobain being a perfect example, and out they go, and you'll see them attract each other like a magnet. But again, they don't seem to always go the difference. I know maybe one or two couples that are happily married that are Pisces and Capricorn, inevitably. But a lot of times you'll see a very young relationship between the two signs, working out karma and then moving on to something that's more compatible. And Pisces, being the chameleon of the zodiac, tends to go well with any signs. They're mutable water. They can flow and go with anybody. And they're not known for boundaries anyway. And rounding out with Aquarius, the most soulmate connection I've seen with them is an Aries. But again, Aquarius isn't known for being really big on commitment. They're your free spirits of the zodiac. And that that's pretty much it from my observation. I'm sure there's people out there willing to argue my point, and that's fine. This is just what I've observed in my practice, and it seems to hold true.
Well, with that, what do you think if you give a month by, you know, I guess not by month, but within, I don't know if it's within a month, with a year, however you approach it, what do you see per each sun sign in their relationships, let's say, within the coming month or year? What do you see, like, for starting off, let's say, if you start off the top with Aries, what would you see going down the line in that perspective?
Oh, just a little forecast for this year, you mean? What's going on with them this year? Okay. You're fading out on me again. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we're all here. Aries is in a very fortunate position for the first half of 2011. Jupiter has entered our sign. Jupiter is the planet of luck, abundance, and expansion. So usually the worst thing that happens when Jupiter hits you as you gain weight, because it expands your physical body, but it's very good for good health, prosperity, and longevity. So this is Aries' year to really grow and broaden their horizons, and as a result, if they're not in a partnership, they're more likely to attract the person that they want into their life due to the self-growth that they've amassed in this six-month period between now and June. Is their best time to attract somebody, again, through their own personal growth, broadening their horizons. And they're very impassioned this time, too, about their professional status is important to them now, and their humanitarian efforts.
Hmm. So it's basically, everything's opening up. It seems like more opening up doors and expanding oneself and connecting more things. And that for creating a bridge was then you're getting the opportunity to meet the one that you want, somebody that you want to meet or whatever. Is that sort of like what I'm trying to say? Is that sort of what you're saying?
I'm saying, you know, the law of attraction. You attract what you are. So this is Aries' opportunity to work on themselves instead of searching externally to find the perfect partner and looking for the right qualities in someone else. This is their time to really focus on what they bring to the table.
Oh, I see. So that would bring the attraction of the other person into their lives because that person is developing themselves. That was what you're saying then.
Kind of, sort of. As you grow and raise your vibration, you raise the vibration of the people around you. And anyone who's done any spiritual growth work or even a lot of therapy does it to attract someone, to attract anybody into their life that's of a better quality. And you do that when you're a better quality person. So even the most evolved Aries this year has a chance to grow and expand and broaden their own horizons. And therefore, the people they're attracting, not just in love relationships, will be a reflection of that. You know, I would just caution them around friendships because there's a lot of idealism going on there. They might sort of have on rose-colored glasses where a friendship is, where they might think there's more to the friendship than actually is.
Right.
And there's a little bit of an uneasy feelings around Aries because they know that something life... I wrote this down. It's on my horoscope. It's up on my website, zodiacbuzz.com. But there's a little bit of uneasiness and anxiety because with Jupiter going into their sign, they know there's something life-changing right there for them. So I would say to Aries, focus on yourself and being the best you can be, and you'll just automatically attract the right person into your life if you're honest with yourself.
Interesting. Now, what about going into, Taurus?
Taurus has a lot of potential this month for some crazy, intense passion on a long-distance journey, whether it be spiritual journey or a physical journey. Long-distance vacations are favored. This is another sign that's really impassioned to put themselves out there on more of a public level and work on their humanitarian efforts. Tauruses that are already in established relationships just really get back in sync or get back in the groove. And when friendships are concerned, I would say expect the unexpected. So that's my forecast for Taurus. Would you like me to follow with Gemini?
Yeah, just keep on going.
Okay. Geminis are focused right now on intimacy because Saturn is in their romance sign. They're looking to rebuild romance. It might be a little more sobering than super wild and passionate, but it has the potential to last a lot longer than just a fling. Another sign that shares a lot with spiritual, cultural, and travel activities, they can find a mutual connection on that level. And it's really time for them to stick up for themselves and not be led down a primrose path. There's a lot to do with healing now. A lot of this, there's a big, some big planetary shifts this year that's going to change everybody's vibration. So even though we're feeling it in the planets, it's also, you know, it's there in the stars moving things for us. And healing for the Gemini is found through their profession. And their success comes through friendships. So even though we're focusing on love and romance, you have to round out the dynamic in your life, and that's why I put these extra things in the horoscopes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I always think of life as like a pie graph. You want, you know, a healthy relationship to be a large chunk of the pie graph, but you also want to have it balanced out with your career or your profession and then friends and activities. You know, that's just my personal opinion, to be a well-rounded individual and not place too much on your partner to define yourself, or too much on your career, or too much on your social life. It's the balance I think we all strive for. Cancers have really been through a lot the last couple of years, and they're finally coming out of maybe a self-destructive cycle, but at the same time it was also very good for partnerships. So you may have seen some Cancers hook up, get engaged, get married, but do a lot of personal work on themselves. It's an excellent month for them for love and passion. And intimacy takes on very many different levels. So it's just a hot month for Cancers. Again, another sign that can benefit from long-distance romance or from actually traveling. But what's going on around their home and family life will also test their faith. And like the Taurus, they gain a lot from being in the spotlight or in the public eye. And that might be enough for those without love or intimacy, just to have enough from the adoring public. Their adoring public.
That's Cancer.
Passionate sign anyway, because they're a water sign. Now, Leo is a fire sign, but fire signs are passionate too, and Leo probably the most out of all the fire signs. It just symbolizes the lion. They approach everything wholeheartedly. They're very, very generous people, and when it comes to romance, that's no exception. They give their all. The only thing is, sometimes the Leo has trouble being with just one partner, but the Leo that finds the right partner can be very loyal. This month, the hot and heavy stuff comes around communication, so they might be involved in an internet romance. It's the intimacy that works for them in healing old wounds. And they're really lucky now to hook up anywhere that they go during the day. And I put this right here in my horoscope. The coffee shop, if you go to Starbucks in the morning, if you go to the gym at night, in the workplace, that's the most likely place for the Leo to find romance this month. Internet dating can be challenging, like I said, but it can also be passionate. And another sign favors long-distance communication or faraway travel. So for the first six signs of the zodiac, five signs of the zodiac, if they have any trips planned this month, if they're doing a getaway with a long-term partner, a lot of passion on distant shores.
What about for example, for a Leo, visitations of because you said long distance, could it be vice versa? Like that, instead of them going further out to distance, could it be somebody else coming to them from the distance?
Yeah, sure. You know, what you don't manifest, you attract. So the energy exists within their sign.
So it's either. Okay.
Could also have a spiritual connection, too. You know, we could define it in mundane terms as long distance, but it might be that there's a connection or not. For those that are super spiritually evolved, that connection, instead of being physically long distance, might just be of a higher-minded connection. Do you follow me on that train of thought?
Yeah, I hear you on that. That sounds pretty interesting. Because everybody keeps on saying long distances and this and that, and it that would make more sense. What about going into, I guess, from Leo, now we're going to Virgo?
Yeah, Virgo's your practical Earth sign. They're mutable, so they're easygoing. But their focus in life is work and service, and romance is very strong this month for Virgo, but they're still focused on their work and also on their health. If they're in a long-term relationship, they can see that start to mend or work itself out in strange and unexpected ways. They're testing their personal values and reestablishing what's important to them. It's also a good month for intimacy or passion, whatever you would like to call that.
Huh.
Libra, again, we get back to Libra, which is the relationship sign. So Libras are all about relationships, but yet, like I said, it is their karma in this lifetime to find the perfect relationship, and sometimes they struggle a lot to do that. Spoke of the law of attraction. That's a very common phrase that's been thrown around a lot the last past 10 years, but really, that when it comes to relationships, that's what it's all about, and that nothing applies more to that than to Libra. Their symbol is the scales, so they're always trying to balance each side out. And with Saturn in their sign, they're going through a lot of reestablishing themselves, focusing on their self-confidence, and building themselves up in a much different way than the Aries is. And interestingly, Aries and Libra are opposite signs. So these are two signs that are opposite each other, working on the law of attraction, but doing it through the focus on the self and bettering themselves. Romance is very favorable in terms of communication, so the place for them where they might feel comfortable is over the internet. And for those in established relationships, home is where the heart is. There's a lot of love within the home and the family. Scorpio is your sexy sign. Scorpio, of course, is the sign that rules the sex and the sex organs, but they're not sex maniacs. Don't forget, Scorpio is a fixed sign. So when Scorpios fix on somebody, they can be very, very loyal. They're not one of the more promiscuous signs that you would think of. They're just as capable of long-term relationships, if not more so than some of the other signs. The worst case scenario for a Scorpio, they get too fixed on somebody. Don't forget, they're fixed water, so their feelings are really deep and intense. And your worst case scenario with a Scorpio would be like the stalker or the person who refuses to let go. And this month, the Scorpio is going through a lot of anxiety when it comes to love and romance. So they need to just find a way to relax. And a way for them to do that, like the Virgo, might be over the internet, where they don't actually have to have direct physical contact with the other person. Those in established relationships can expect a lot of hot and heavy intensity on the home front. And they benefit this month from great health and stamina. So it's a good time to get out to the gym, unless they're really too shy about interacting with the opposite sex. But their health and vitality is in a good place. So they definitely have the stamina to go the distance if they want to.
And I guess what, Sagittarian?
Yeah, Sagittarians are funny. They're a mutable sign, so they're easygoing, and they're a fire sign. So they're also very, you know, passionate, a little bit reckless. They're sort of I always say a Sagittarians are for a good time, not a long time. And that applies to their friendships and their love relationships. They're one of those signs that has a hard time with commitment. And they recently may have been hurt and are just hiding out in the privacy of their own home, which is akin to their nature. They're excellent networkers, and they do well hooking up at networking events, and also another sign that works well via the internet, but eventually they're going to want some physical interaction. They're fire signs. They're out there. They're fun-loving. They love to be out and doing stuff. A lot of the love connection this month centers around money matters, so meeting people through money endeavors, financial endeavors in the workplace. It's a huge year for them romantically. Jupiter being in Aries falls in their romance house. So lots of romantic opportunities this year. And it might be the year where they just date, especially for the next 6 months, until they find the right person to settle down with.
Now we're going into Capricorn.
Yeah, Capricorns tend to be more conservative and reserved, but this is a super passionate month for them, and it's going to raise the bar and set a new standards for their personal ethics and values. They wouldn't be wise to connect over the internet. They'd probably be disappointed. They're working, to them, the Capricorns, their public image is very important to them. Again, we see them driving around in the Mercedes, owning the big home, because it's a measure of their achievement. They work very hard. They're not ostentatious, but they like things to show for their hard work. And that's where their, you know, their values, their ethics are derived from, how much they've achieved. And what they're doing right now is rebuilding their public image, which is somewhat challenging. The best place for Capricorns is with the home and the family. And if they're in an established relationship, that's exactly where they're going to want to be this month. Now, Aquarius is the sign of the month, because the majority of the birthdays fall in February. So it's a strong focus on Aquarius. It's a new moon this week. Excellent day to write down your manifestation list, all the things you desire in a partnership. And this is for Aquarius. The new moon is in Aquarius, which starts the Chinese New Year, the year of the rabbit. And a lot of things are shifting and changing for Aquarians this year. They sort of might feel born again, just a freer feeling, different feelings. And again, they're another sign that's subject to the law of attraction. How they put themselves out there, how they feel about themselves, will determine who they attract into their life. Now, destiny this year favors friendships, where, you know, when we talked about the karmic connection soulmate, that's what surrounds their romance house. They could definitely meet a soulmate this year, but it might be someone that they have to work out a lot of issues with. And established relationships for them still reflect on themselves, like Aries, like Libras, Aquarians. It's a good year to focus on themselves, their growth, their expansion, and again, what they accomplish, what they achieve will be what they attract back to them. And there's a lot going on for them this year, and you can read that on my website. I sort of did them as a special feature. Now, rounding out the zodiac with Pisces, the dual fish, the lovers of the zodiac, no boundaries. It's hard to love a Pisces. I always say to my clients, have you ever tried to hold on to a fish? They swim away, they come back. They swim away, they come back. And they always throw themselves on the altar of love when they feel they've met the right person. So, you know, if they're going through a lot of anxiety, as they often experience due to their unabandoned love nature, it's a really great time for Pisces to get into exploring alternative healing techniques, which their sun sign is usually very open to, Pisces being of the higher-minded, spiritual type of person. Conventional intimacy doesn't favor them this much as a personal, private pleasure. They're just kind of keeping things on the down low and hanging out with friends until their birthday, which is a better time to pursue romantic opportunities.
So basically they're just out there to have some fun and whatever, and then to come around their birthday, then they'll start maybe looking settling down. I've never heard any Pisces really settling down. Not to say broad stroke people, but anyway. Curiously, I was a question. I don't know if you have it on the top, but what sign is Marilyn Monroe? Because I don't sound like Marilyn Monroe.
Well, you know, this is where it gets into the interesting dynamics of all the things that make up a chart. Marilyn Monroe was a Gemini. Not, again, broad stroking, as you just said, a lot of Geminis, Libras, Pisces, the duality signs can be bisexual, and she was. She also had an Aquarius moon, which is very open-minded and unconventional. Not the biggest person on commitment, But those are both air signs, so she was no dumb blonde. She was highly, highly intelligent. What she had, I believe, was Neptune, a strong Neptune in her chart, which rules Pisces and would give her all those qualities. She had that X factor that is Neptune Pisces, that extra charisma, that extra charm, which, you know, is why we're still talking about her today when she's been dead for almost 50 years. You know, her legacy lives on. Angelina Jolie, another Gemini, bisexual. Brad Pitt, her opposite sign, Sagittarius. They're opposite signs and they're compatible by element, air and fire.
Because we got to wrap up things now, but I want to thank you, Carrie, once again, coming on my show. I want you once again reiterate how people can contact you and get either do a reading or astrology analysis, even a compatibility chart or whatever. Please give them your information so they know how to contact you directly.
Sure, they're welcome to phone me. They can just call me. Just keep it in mind that I'm in the Pacific time zone, so I prefer calls between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. I've had people from India call me at 3 in the morning. it's 1-866-395-1340. And again, that's toll free. And you can also reach me by email, Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, at zodiacbuzz.com. ZODIACBUZZ.com is the name of my website. I just put up February's horoscopes, which is mostly what I took this from, because I put a lot of thought into that when I wrote them out. They're up there tonight. My good friend Larry Williamson from Sky Bear Astrology also does a fascinating new moon report every month, bringing in Greek mythology and Sabian symbols. That I posted on my website tonight, too, so there's a wealth of information on there. And it's free. I put it out there for free right now. And all my prices for readings, which are very reasonable, relationship readings, personal forecasts, future forecasts, tarot, if you need immediate answers to immediate questions, does he love me? Where is he? Is he coming back? Tarot works good for that. That's all on the front page of my website, zodiacbuzz.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Carrie, for coming on my show. Once again, I really appreciate it. And to all those out there, thank you, and God bless you all. Again, also check out intense-impact.com for those out there in Australia and New Zealand for upcoming events in your lovely countries. And God bless you all, and again, thank you.